You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of sunning the shit out of Philistines. I'm your host, James Marcita, a.k.a. Stank Nilakina, a.k.a. Fat Trick Ewing, a.k.a. Charles Toakley, a.k.a. Ronaldo Outlined in Chalkman, a.k.a. Def Jam Gundy, a.k.a. Michael Swoliak, a.k.a. Spaghetti Curry, a.k.a. Pusha Zeebo, a.k.a. Jeff Jersey Shornacek, a.k.a. Ennis Canterstop, Ennis Wonterstop, a.k.a. Tim Fardaway Possessions, a.k.a. the Analytics Aristocrat slash the Eye Test Impresario, a.k.a. Cormac McStarksy, a.k.a. He Got Shame, a.k.a. Flirt Thomas, a.k.a. Mike What's Good Son, a.k.a. Dave Cut the Checkets, a.k.a. Who Got the Keys to the Bima Servacio, a.k.a. Slobbert Randolph, a.k.a. Trill Jackson, a.k.a. Mike Yaspreen. And this is episode 201. On today's show, the Knicks lose to the Houston Rockets 119-97. Oh yeah! I mean, whatever, it's horrible to lose like this. But the Knicks are a rebuilding team. It's alright, I promise to make the show as entertaining as I possibly can while breaking down this, you know, contest might be a strong word. But let's go, let's start the show.
Yes!
So Wednesday's game against the Rockets was on ESPN, which immediately put up my antlers. I was like, oh, this isn't going to be great because you guys may not have noticed this, but Walt Clyde Frazier has been around for every Knicks victory and has been absent for every Knicks loss. And because the game was on ESPN tonight, we had one half of the normal broadcasting duo, Mike Yaspreen. Man, I don't even like hearing myself say that. I'm sorry for that. But we did not have Clyde. We had Def Jam Gundy, who, you know, I love Def Jam Gundy, but I'm skeptical right off the bat, all right? Ron Baker remains inactive with some sort of ankle thing, neither here nor there because, you know, the Knicks have been playing well, but it did make me think, I would like to start calling him either like Ronye West or just plain Ronye going forward, and I'm going to want your guys' support, okay? You may not like it. You might be like, I hate that. But it's one of those things, like, I'm going to say it. So get used to it. Get on board. Start loving it. It's like I'm training my dog right now, and so we're teaching it different words to describe different bathroom acts. We messed up, and we made go to the bathroom be her word for taking a piss. So we say, go to the bathroom, and she takes a piss. She does it a lot outside. She's really good at it. We were trying to use it for, like, both pee and poop, but we didn't know how to train dogs. And it wound up just sticking for peeing. So when we say, go to the bathroom, she pees, which can be problematic if you're inside and you're like, I gotta go to the bathroom. So far, she hasn't peed indoors. But we have a word for pooping that's kind of up for debate. And I told my girlfriend, I'm like, look, I'm gonna say cocky. I'm going to say, go cocky. Do you need to go cocky? Go cocky. Go cocky, Rooster. And she's like, no, I hate that. Don't say it. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm saying it. And you hating it just makes me want to say it even more. I'm all about compromise in relationships. But when it's something frivolous like this, sometimes you just got to, you know, assert yourself. So, Ronye West. Or just playing Ronye. I don't know. Ron Baker. That's what I'm trying to say. We're in the first quarter now, and Porzingis is missing some early shots. But he's getting mismatches, which is good. He's got Harden on him. He's got Gordon on him. You know, he's looking like an MVP. I'm like, all right, Kristaps is going to settle down. He'll start canning some makes off these mismatches. We'll be good to go. Hardaway scoring some early buckets. He's got 5 in the first quarter. That puts him on pace for 20 for the entire game. However, the Rockets are hitting threes. Now, I said this after the Denver victory, which was triumphant in many ways, but the Knicks gave up an ocean full of wide open threes and turned the ball over at a league worst rate. And if those two things continued, a team like the Rockets might come in and sun them to death. If you're playing the Locked On Knicks drinking game at home, I just said sunning for the first and second time, so take a swig of your beer. It was a sloppy start from both teams. They had a couple of those sequences where both teams turned it over consecutively. Like there'd be a steal and then the other team would steal it back, which is always a bad look. It makes me feel like I'm watching college basketball. But on the plus side, the Knicks are looking to run. We've said that we want them to get out in transition. They're like twice as efficient in transition so far as they are in the half court, which is a particularly huge gulf for them. Teams are always better in transition, but the Knicks are not doing well in half court so far, largely speaking. So we want to see them run. They were running. However, turnovers, like I said earlier, open three-pointers for the opposition and turnovers on your own end, recipe for disaster. It's biting them in the ass in the first quarter. There were 2 dumb passes in a row that made me annoyed. One from Hardaway on a cut to Lee. Lee should have cut. He like faked like he was going to cut. He didn't cut. He probably should have, but whatever. And then Courtney, you know, Lee didn't get the pass because he didn't cut. And Def Jam Gundy was pissed at Hardaway. He chided him for being demonstrative. He's like, look, you're not even making your shots. You're going to show up, Courtney Lee, and like be mad at him, you know, really visibly. It's not a good look, which is a fair point. Totally fair point from Def Jam Gundy. But I also get it as a competitor myself, as an emotional competitor. Sometimes your emotions get the best of you, and it's difficult. That's a difficult thing to stop because it comes from a place that's like unstoppable sort of by definition. You can get better at swallowing your emotions. I've really improved at like bottling that up and getting stress-based diseases as I've grown up. So it can be done, and Hardaway's got to do that. It might be frustrating when Courtney Lee doesn't cut the way you think he's going to, but you got to bottle it up. Def Jam Gundy's right there. Right after that, Jared Jack threw one into the corner to someone who was like maybe supposed to be there, but they weren't, and it just went out of bounds. So it looked bad. However, KP started to connect by the end of the quarter. And then Frank checked in. Woo! Some early action. But he got an immediate foul. Missed a 3. Something of note happened here. There were one of these foul calls where the refs made a big deal of like, on the floor, not continuation. And I'm loving this season that they're not giving all these continuations because it was really becoming not basketball. It was like a basketball like game where like, all right, well, if I can like kind of like, and it's funny that Houston's here while we talk about this because James Harden is an expert at this shit. It's like, I smell a foul. I wasn't going to shoot at all, but I know they're going to call it. So I'll like throw up my hands and then get the shot, which is bullshit. That's not basketball. I'm not going to fault someone for taking advantage of what they can take advantage of, but I do like that the league is placing an emphasis on not giving like every continuation possible. So that's good from an NBA standpoint. Back to the Knicks. Kylo Quinn got a face full of elbow from Nene in the first quarter. And I feel like Nene is always just kind of a dick. He's on my shit list. If I update the enemies list like halfway through the season, maybe he's getting on there. What do we see here? Billy Hernan Gomez checks in late in the first. And to cheers. I want to thank the Garden for giving him cheers, for encouraging young Billy, slightly redeeming themselves after not freaking out over KP's three-pointer from the logo the other night, as much as I think they should have. Soon after Billy checks in, Frank hits a 2 just inside the three-point line. And what I want to note here is that his shot just sounds... When my beautiful sweet baby Frank hits a shot, doesn't the swish sound swishier than when everyone else who's ever shot a basketball shoots it? I think so. So, the Knicks are doing all right. However, Harden hits an annoying buzzer 3. But even with that, the Knicks are up 3 after 1. So that's good. Just do that 4 more times, no sweat, right? feel like KP is going to start punishing some mismatches. Let's go, right? Let's go. Second quarter rolls around. My ESPN feed gets stuck on an ad for Popeyes for like four plays, and I miss four plays. Is this a good omen or bad? I can't decide, but it feels sort of ominous. I want to walk you through the rest of the game, but first, fantasy basketball fans, listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try my new favorite app, Draft. D-R-A-F-T, Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but not like the other guys. Oh, no. On Draft, you play real live snake drafts with other human beings, just like in your season-long league with your friends. Here's how it works, guys. It's a draft that lasts for just one night, and there's no management. You just set it, and then you forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. There's none of this salary cap bullshit numbers. Who needs them, right? Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Someone gets screwed, they're like, we got you. We'll put someone else in. We're not going to screw you over like that. Drafts start every couple of minutes. You can join one right now. And the best part, you play for cold hard cash. Woo! Money! That's what I want. Drafts start from just $1. So there's a draft for every budget. Like I said, no salary caps. You play in a real life snake draft. Just like you play with your friends. Come and join me on Draft today. That's right, I'm on Draft. I said it's my favorite app. Locked On Knicks. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes. Or play right from your computer on draft.com. Whatever you want. You want your device, your mobile device. You want your desktop, your Dell. You can do it. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. That's so great. But you got to use my promo code. My promo code. LONYX. That's what I'm saying. Play a real money game for free. Just for using my promo code LONYX on your first deposit on Draft. If you follow Locked On Fantasy, you can enter one of these draft drafts just for fans of Locked On podcasts. It's great. Draft. Check it out. All right, let's talk about the second quarter. Like I said, my feed gets stuck on a Popeyes ad for a few plays. I can hear them talking, but I just see an ad for Popeyes. Is this a good omen? Is it bad? I don't know. Right after I come back, Hardaway misses an early wide-open three. Billy has a weird foul where he, like, karate chops a guy who gets him up in the air. And the bench unit that's in right now is just playing, like, doo-doo butter, a.k.a. DDB. Their DDB per 36 is 99th percentile. We got Frank, Timmy, Dylan McShermott, Michael Beasley, and Billy Hernan Gomez at center. And Bees is just, it might be him, honestly. He's looking pretty Brandon Jennings tall tonight. Not sure how much he can play if the Knicks are serious about winning, but we'll see. And Billy Hernan Gomez, you know, he put in a couple buckets late, but he just looks worse than the other two guys right now. Falling for tons of shot fakes. I still think he's got a lot of potential. But this is what I was saying when I made the gentleman's case for Enes Kanter. Like, Billy's defense looks bad. Enes's does not look great either, but he's more efficient than Billy. He looks more comfortable in the flow of an offense. He's scoring at a higher rate. His PER is great. He doesn't take shots that he misses. It's, you know, he's a more efficient Billy right now, and it's, like, not particularly close. I'm not saying I want to see Billy buried. We've talked about, you know, resource allocation and the salary cap and all the reasons why we want Billy to succeed, but it's not crazy that Kanter keeps getting minutes over him the way I see it right now. All right, so now we're looking at 10 straight points from the Rockets. Lots of fouls from the Knicks. They've done a good job of staying out of foul trouble so far in this season, not so much in the second quarter. It's starting to become disaster piece theater. The starters come back in with McDermott instead of Lee, which I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Let's see how this looks. But it only lasts a minute or two. We don't really get much of a look. I don't foresee a situation in which Lee is not the starter coming up soon. He just looks pretty good with these guys. He gets out in transition. He can hit a three, even with his weird corkscrew shot. He's doing Lee things. So the starters come back in. Hardaway throws away an inbounds pass. Jarrett Jack, thank God, breaks a six-minute cold streak. The Knicks don't score for 6 minutes, but he breaks it with a long two. So not exactly like, now we're out of it. But then KP hits Cantor in transition for a dunk. At which point, I notice the Garden of Dreams ad on like the scorer's table. And I've kind of had this kicking around in my mind for a while without putting it into words. But I think the Garden of Dreams, the Knicks charity, which is great that they, you know, do it, blah, blah, blah. Like, for kids. I forget exactly what it is. It helps kids. But they've got the worst logo in the world. It looks like a ransom note. Every letter is like a different color and size and font. I could come up with a better one. I want the Garden of Dreams to succeed. This is coming from a good place. So, Knicks, get at me. I'll put you in touch. I'm not a designer, but I know people. I'll put you in touch with a good designer. They'll get a nice, professional-looking logo for Garden of Dreams. And you guys are going to, I guarantee, double your profits. Guarantee it. I looked at some stats at this point. The Knicks are looking like doo-doo butter, DDB, in the second quarter. And Hardaway somehow had 13 points and 7 rebounds. So a little bit of like an Enes Kanter situation where you're like, huh, he doesn't seem like he's been effective, but the numbers are there. Something funny happened toward the end of the second quarter. Ryan Anderson took a long three. And Def Jam Gundy was like, he's going to get 100 lashes from the GM for taking that long two. He took a long two, sorry, not a long three. So I just like that inside info from Def Jam talking about Morey. And we might as well talk about it. A lot of what this game came down to was shot selection. The Rockets, 55% of their shots came from three. That's tops in the league. The Knicks, 27% of their shots came from three. The Knicks, 51% of their shots came from the mid-range. The Rockets, only 17% of their shots came from mid-range. I'm going to hit you with some percentiles. 95th percentile for mid-range frequency for the Knicks. 3rd percentile for mid-range frequency for the Rockets. And I got to give credit to the Rockets here. Their defense did a great job of forcing the Knicks into mid-range. The Knicks tried to attack, although they didn't do nearly a good enough job. Only 22% of their shots came at the rim. That's 7th percentile. Very low. They tried to get threes, but they kept getting, like, you know, chased off the line. The Rockets' defense was aggressive. They knew what shots they wanted to give the Knicks. And those are the shots the Knicks took. At this point, the Knicks are floundering. And the broadcast cuts to Scott Perry and Steve Mills, who are always sitting next to each other. I love it. So cute. They should get them a little, like, love sofa in the garden. Just take out a couple seats. Put a little love sofa in there. Maybe one of them will, like, curl up next to the other one and fall asleep. But they only show these two guys when the Knicks are losing. That's bullshit. That's LOL Knicks. Anti-Knicks bias. I'm not having it. I hate it. I don't like it. Show them during the win streak. I didn't see these guys' faces once during the win streak. Come on. I'm going to wrap up my breakdown of the first half in just a moment. But first, just want to take one quick second to tell you guys that you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like this show, you should check out Locked On NBA. They cover every team and every story that matters. Locked On NBA. So things are looking pretty grim at this point. But I'm like, oh, maybe there's some hope here. KP hits one over Harden. They show Patrick Ewing's daughter in the crowd. She looks just like him. And she was like doing some sort of broadcast thing where she could hear them. She had like big broadcast headphones on and she waved and like smiled, and she had a Patrick smile. It was so adorable. All told, though, the Knicks are down 12 at the half, 60-48. The announcing crew, Mike Yasbreen and Def Jam Gundy, they mentioned a couple times that there were like a million weird caroms. Probably because the Rockets took so many threes, and three-pointers tend to, you know, bounce long. But there were a million weird caroms, and the Knicks just couldn't get possession of the ball. And in the first half, they had a 12.5 offensive rebounding percentage. Which you're like, is that good? Is that bad? For the season, the Knicks were pretty much tops in the league. They came in with 32.9% offensive rebound percentage. So only 12.5% in the first half, which is less than half of what they are typically getting on a game-by-game basis. So that's part of their problem. They're not getting to the rim. We talked about that. They can't score in half court in the first half. They had 0.79 points per possession. 79 points per 100 half-court possessions. Houston, just jacking threes left and right, scoring 1.08 points per half-court possessions. 108 points per 100 half-court possessions. The Knicks are actually doing a decent job pushing the pace and capitalizing on those opportunities, but they look disjointed and slow in half-court on both the offense and the defense. They're not hitting shots. None of this is shocking against a Houston team they've struggled with, given some of the things the Knicks have been struggling with, even with their victories. Still, sort of a bummer. Third quarter starts. Cantor gets an O rebound for a putback. All right, maybe this will be good. Nope. Knicks go down 17. Timeout. Houston's just getting every shot from three. We talked about it. They finished the game with a, you know, league-best frequency from three-point land. We have an ugly missed three from Hardaway, even though he did pretty well for the game. I'm going to look up the box score. Gotta go to my thing. NBA stats. Scoreboard. I should have had this up. That's why I'm singing. Because I'm buying time. That's okay. I'm recording this at 11 at night after a 20-point blowout. Give me some fucking slack. Come on. This is free. Don't be a jerk about it. Let's look at Hardaway's final stat line. 23 points on 9 for 18 shooting, 5 for 10 from 3, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. But he was minus 18, which was the lowest plus minus on the Knicks starters and second lowest plus minus on the whole team. Only to Doug McDermott, not his best game. He was minus 19. So he had these stats, but he had these, like, he had a way of killing momentum and throwing it away at the worst time and, like, backbreaking. It's not all on him, but that was a weird game from Hardaway. So that saga continues. And at this point, the Knicks go down 20. I wrote, that's the game, folks. And it basically was. They fell apart. The Rockets' defense was smothering, like I said, only giving up mid-range shots. But the young kids are getting some burn. Frank stole the ball, passed to Lee, who got sunned by Capella under the basket. So even when they had a good thing happen, it ended in a sunning. They still look okay in transition, especially with Frank. But turnovers and open threes for the Rockets keep piling up. Nilakina stripped Harden a couple times. He looked nice against Harden. But one of them, he traveled trying to do like a weird 360 spin thing. So you're seeing that the kid's 19, you know. I hope I didn't mislead you guys with my all praises due 30-minute Frank slurp fest the other day. I stand by everything I said. But he is 19 and there's going to be sloppiness. But you can see the seeds of greatness in there. In the third quarter, Kylo Quinn shot a three because fuck it, why not? Houston finished with 100 points by the end of the third. Harden had 19 in the third. But, you know, we had a couple nice plays from Frank. He hit McDermott cutting for an and one. But it's not enough to end another third quarter of doom for the Knicks. It's their second third quarter of doom in a row. Is it coaching? Is it lack of talent? I think in this one, like, Chris Stapps was, you know, not having his best game after doing unprecedented Michael Jordan type shit for the first 5 out of 6 games. It's gonna happen. And when he's not hitting, the Knicks struggle mightily. And we saw that in the third. So the fourth quarter, what do you want to see here? You want to see some kids, right? They're down 20. They're going to lose. And we get an opening lineup of Frank, Dotson, Lance, where he's playing power forward. Doug's playing three. And Billy is playing center. We get a nice outlet pass from Frank to Dotson for an and one. Then we get a bad pass from Frank, forcing it inside. So again, 19 years old. We get another nice outlet pass from Frank to Dotson with a nice reverse finish layup. This time, Dotson had some nice plays in the fourth quarter. He sunned someone to the ground. I think it was Tariq Black, and then buried a jumper on a hezzy pull-up Jimbo. That's a hesitation pull-up jumper in Kevin Durant speak. Yeah, it was Tariq Black, actually, and that was confirmed for me by Twitter user Dad Michael Murray, which is a tremendous Twitter name, so shouts to you, bro. Billy was like, Kyle O'Quinn, I see you. He took a three. He missed it. Harden was still in the game up 24 with 4 minutes left in the fourth, which is like fine, you know? I get it, D'Antoni. You got run out of town on a rail. Melo won the power struggle. He pushed you out of there. But you're only hurting yourself. And this is a sport. It's competitive. You want to keep him in. He keeps sunning the Knicks. Fine. That's fine. That's your prerogative. But, you know, Harden ran out of juice in the Game 7 last year. Just saying. You may want to look at pulling him earlier next time. I don't know. Now, of note, the last interesting thing that happened is that KP came in when the game was out of hand to play in a lineup with Frank, Billy, Dotson, and Lance. Some people were pissed, and I like it. I like it. This is a rebuilding year. They already were losing this game. You can get injured at any time. I don't think his overall minutes were that crazy. He played 28 minutes, so it's not even like, you know, versus how many minutes did Harden play? Let's see. 35, right? So Jeff did a good job of limiting his minutes in this blowout. But he brought him in to play with the young kids, develop chemistry with them. I say young kids, KP's 22, but the less established youngsters. So I like that move. I think it's good. Knicks wind up losing by 22. They were down 20 coming into the third. So if you're looking at this from a quarter-by-quarter breakdown, they win the first quarter. They have a very bad second quarter. Although not the worst. You can come back from that. And then it's just an apocalyptic nuclear winter. Donald Trump is president, third quarter, and you can't recover from that. In the fourth quarter, they treaded water again. So two quarters basically where they tread water, and two where they just get sunned to death, one apocalyptically so. And that's what happens. You lose. It's very important to keep track of sunnings. There were three in this game. Harden got Kristaps to fall over on a step back. Like I said before, Dotson sunned Tariq Black to the ground on a hezzy pull-up Jimbo. And Capella blocked the shit out of Lee on a layup, like we said before. So three official sunnings. Two for the Rockets, one for the Knicks. So I'm going to keep track of this stat going forward. Right? So right now, first game, looks like whoever has the most sunnings wins. I don't want to make it too simple here. But, you know, stats don't lie. So the Knicks, you know, this is turnovers, offensive rebounds, all kinds of stuff. I don't know. I'm like trying to recap. You guys know what happened. You saw what happened. 3-point shooting. I just talked to you about it for half an hour. I'm not going to wrap it up nicely. That's not what I'm going to do. All right? Sorry. Draw your own conclusions. I'd try to take you on a fun journey through this game. Pull up, you know, some bits of information. You do with that what you will. You know what I'm saying? Alright guys, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed us, why don't you go on iTunes, rate us 5 stars. This is Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, your stories every day. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode. Peace!